You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Cross it's a goal! Oh, it's the United, Paul Armstrong!
First time shot comes in.
Jay Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In This Club Is My Club this week, we've got the full reviews, interviews and highlights from FC's home tie with Nantwich Town, as well as a catch-up from the women's and youth sides. But first, a gala review with Wilf McGuinness.
Hi, I'm Alan Gowling. Don't worry, it'll all be over by Christmas. You're listening to FCUM Radio.
Last Friday, well-dressed VIPs flocked to the National Football Museum in Manchester for the second FC United gala dinner. Distinguished guest Brian Hughes spoke to the attendees about his life at Colliehurst Lads Club and the sportsmen he had met over the years. General Manager Andy Walsh also addressed the crowd, thanking host sponsors MX Data for their continued support and enthusiasm without the need for shirt sponsorship. Looking through the crowd of Manchester's finest, there was also a team of United legends present. Alan Gowling, Carlo Sartori, Wilf McGuinness and Sandy Busby were all in attendance and contributed a signed tablecloth to the raft of top drawer items being auctioned off on the night. Thousands of pounds were raised for FC United to contribute toward the ongoing costs with the Mostyn project, with hopes that as we near the end of the judicial review, soon the spades will go into the dirt. The gala dinner was a resounding success, with Mick Ferry doing an excellent job as host for the evening. At the end of the evening, we managed to get a quick couple of words with Wilf McGuinness.
Hello, my name's Wilf McGuinness. You've been listening to FC Radio. I hope you've enjoyed what you've heard tonight. We've had a great night here, and it's FC United, and we hope they do very well. I'm a North Manchester lad, and I hope they get the ground up there to play in North Manchester. I'd love to see them up there.
On a personal note, I would like to extend thanks to ConstructiveCoding.com, who invited some FC radio and TV volunteers to enjoy the evening. Their continued support and that of the Armchair Army not only makes this feasible, but also enjoyable and progressive.
No midway. If you fancy some
improving for a better way of life,
or some, or maybe a little bit of
bad news on the doorstep,
and possibly listen to, or maybe even some, then why not come along and tune into 11.7 Wednesday and Thursdays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m.
FCUM Radio. FC and Music United.
No midweek game for FC United, so on Saturday, Gig Lane was host to FC's second home tie on the trot. The visitors were Nantwich Town, and Carl Margeson was keen to extend his side's good performance and clean sheets. Here's Marv Willers with a review.
Thanks, Cockers. It was a game of few chances for FC United as they took a second half lead, only to see it fall apart in the last 10 minutes, as the Reds tasted defeat for the first time this season, 2-1 at home to Nantwich Town. The highlight of the first half was Carl Jacobs smashing the visitors' crossbar with a thunderous strike, but on the whole, Nantwich had a game plan which was helped by FC United's unusually sluggish play. In the second half, and it was much the same as the first, FC struggling to get a hold on the game, and the visitors seemed content with a point each. On 53 minutes, however, a rare piece of class from Matty Wolfenden slotting home to put the Reds ahead.
James Adam Jones plays it, went there nicely from Jerome Wright. Wolfenden, can he get through? He's through, can he score? Yes, he can! FC United take the lead! And nicely done in the end by Wolfenden. And the ball bounced there for Jerome Wright. He played a very clever ball on the spin. And Jerome Wright, and I beg your pardon, Matty Wolfenden there, went through, was under pressure, but kept his calm and slid it past John Brain into the keeper's left-hand corner. And FC United have the lead here against Nantwich.
The goal only seemed to spur Nantwich into action, and FC were put under more and more pressure as the half wore on, to which the Reds had no answer. Two goals from Niall Maguire and Matt Bailey in the last 10 minutes of normal time sealed the deal for the Yellows.
Flynn, the captain, looking for some movement, and he gets it from Lane. He plays the ball to the penalty area. This should be the equaliser, and it's exactly that. And FC United, really, between Lee Neville and Jerome Wright, arguments in the centre of the defence's arguments. It was a poor, poor clearance. And FC United, well, we said it was coming, 78 minutes on the clock. Since FC have scored, Nantwich have just come more and more into this game, and FC United really should not be in this position. There's an FC United drawing here, 1-1, but at the moment, the better of the two teams are the team in yellow as they pull the ball to the right-hand side in the penalty area for the other ball towards the back post. It's a decent ball. Opportunity, first half shot comes in. It's a goal! It's a goal again. Static defending. There was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 red shirts in the penalty area. It was a poor chip into the penalty area, to be honest. And Matt Bailey, 6'6" of him, just hits it nonchalantly into the bottom corner beyond FC United's goalkeeper, and FC United find themselves 2-1 down here.
With Adam Jones leaving the field with an injury on 60 minutes, FC's Carl Madison will need to come up with a solution to centre-back cover ahead of two important games this week.
Stephen Wood spoke to Carl Madison.
Okay, Carl, I suppose at some point we'd have to be having this interview with the first defeat on the board. Disappointing for it to be at home today.
Yeah, very much so. I think that we've got ourselves into a 1-0 lead, deservedly. They've changed the shape a little bit, and they've restarted playing. It's like they've just... the lads have just got to hold their hands up and just say, you know, that we don't change what we do for the sake of other people. And for whatever reason, we started to panic. And, you know, losing Adam Jones, I've got to say, was a massive blow with the way that they set up and started firing things on us. It's something we're either going to have to deal with, or I've got to look at the personnel that we've got at our disposal to be able to counter anything that's thrown our way, because towards the end there, when they were firing things in, it was too panicky. You know, it wasn't not rocket or football genius by any stretch of the imagination. You know, we've killed ourselves with two horrendous mistakes. You know, and the lads have just got to hold hands up, accept responsibility for that, and try and move on if they get another chance.
It's like you say, because I mean, the first half, generally in control without really, you know, excelling, if you like.
Yeah.
And then you go one up, and like it just seems to just start going downhill from that point. Do you think of it, I don't know, complacency steps in?
No, I don't think it was complacency. I just think that Nantwich changed the way they were playing. They went at 4-2-4 and we started to panic.
Yeah.
Instead of looking to control the game and playing with our heads, sometimes if they go 4-2-4 and they're forcing everything, start clearing the ball, start putting the ball in behind their front and in behind their back line, getting them turned, and then going up and pressuring from there. But I'm really disappointed in quite a few of the players today. You know, so I'll be having a chat with them and try to put things right ahead of Stafford.
I was going to say Stafford. We said it before after defeats. I suppose a good thing is only 3 days gap and then straight back into it.
Really hard game. At Stafford Rangers away on a Tuesday night. I don't think there's many that'd fancy that trip. Well, these lot better had.
Cheers, girl.
After the game, Stephen also spoke to FC board member Alison Watt ahead of next Saturday's FA Cup tie against Salford City.
FA Cup, Alison, next week we've got a nice local derby against our old friends at Salford City. It's not a bad tie, really, I suppose. Lower division team, away from home, but...
Well, yeah, but after today's result, I'm not sure that we'll necessarily take that as anything.
Good way of coming back, though.
Yeah, it'll be a tough game against Salford City because, as you say, it's local rivals. They'll be up for it. We might need to get some defenders.
That'll be a start, yeah.
I mean, it's always fantastic to get a cup game, and should be mostly our fans there in a small, tight ground. Should be very good.
I'm glad you said that. I was going to mention, you know, that it's been pretty fairly done. I know, with the ticket allocation, and you know, because we ended the home team, and they can do what they like to a certain extent. But they've been more than generous, giving us an allocation of 1,000 tickets in a capacity of 1,300 or so.
Yeah, Salford have always been very good to us. We've had we've played a couple of games there in the youth team and a friendly there. I think this will be the first competitive first team game at their ground. So it'll be good to see that, and they've been very good about getting us as many tickets as we can. So,
well, let's hope that where they've been good ends at 3 o'clock.
They can carry on being generous and make sure that we win. That's what we want. Yeah.
And there's also, just quickly, finally, a little touch with their captain being one of our old players in Jimmy Holden.
Yeah, well, Jimmy was always a really good player for us, and he came back twice here, but he could never quite hold down a full place in the team. I'm really pleased to see he's doing well at Salford. I didn't know he was the captain.
Captain, penalty taker, corner taker, and free kick taker, apparently.
Does anybody else play for Salford?
So, hopefully not.
But there will be, I mean, that adds a bit of edge to it, because he, like any player that hasn't quite made it at a club, will always want to put one over his old team.
And on that tack, I suppose, it's a shame that Rodri Giggs will be injured, so he can't go back again. He was manager there last season.
Yeah, it would be good to actually, if he was able to go back again, but Margie was saying earlier that he's still injured, going to be a few weeks away yet. So, unfortunately, we won't have that, but it should be a good game.
Well, so fingers crossed for a good game, and I was going to say 3 points, but a journey into the next round.
Yeah, that's what we need. We need a cup run. On a miserable day when you just lost a league game, you need a good cup run.
You do. Cheers, Alison.
Here's the FC Live team with their review of the game.
That is indeed the final whistle, and Nantwich Town, from 1-0 down for the majority of this game, leave Gig Lane here this afternoon. The victors, 2-1. Nicky Platt talking to Mr. Plowright, the referee, in regard to the penalty. And FC United find themselves on the end of their first defeat of the season. So, points-wise, I think it's now, this time last season, we were 1 point better off.
And given the start that everyone thinks we've had, that we're
already 2 points.
It feels like we've had a good start, and this is obviously a setback. But I think, I don't know. We didn't look on it, did we?
No, not.
And I think the loss of Jones in that half then was just, that was it then. Well, at that point, I mean, it was coming. Don't get me wrong, the goals were coming for Nantwich, but I think that sealed the deal for it, really.
I think you're right on that one. So let's bring James in anyway, because I'm sure the incident packed last 25 minutes that James unfortunately wasn't able to commentate on. Although he was commentating to
in
my
a way,
right-hand
you
side.
Hear him.
Because the one thing, James, that these headsets give us is actually a little bit of calm during the game. And once we take them off, you become that fan again, don't you? So you shout and scream.
Yeah.
That was poor, wasn't it, second half?
Well, I don't know quite how it happened, but it was FC United took the lead, and then credit to Nantwich, because they played really good football, but FC didn't seem to be able to keep hold of the ball and just surrendered initiative, and in the end it was all a bit of a comedy of errors really at the back, and it looked like men against boys, and Spencer there throwing a boot or something down.
So these boots, because the goals have come from poor defensive work.
We,
as you rightly say, we surrendered the midfield for large part of that second half. The penetration, the quality of passing just wasn't there at all. And to be honest, you look at shots on target, I mean, I don't know what the stats are, but there was very few attempts on goal in that game from FC United. I think Brains won directly at him, and he just saved nicely.
Yeah.
Apart from that, really, I can't think of it. And Spencer's had to make two or three
saves. Yeah. There was Jacob Shaw in the first half.
Apparently, we've had nine shots on target to Nantwich's three. Right. Although Stattlepool did have a heavy night's drinking session.
I think most of those on target were straight at the goalkeeper. I don't remember the goalkeeper being.
What is interesting there, though, is, and we've talked about depth in squad, and we talked about quality. Jones is a vital cog in the
FC
wheel, let's say. And I wouldn't have played him today. Right, and he was a 70-30, as far as I was told.
It was a fitness test, definitely.
A Tuesday match at Stafford is more telling on the body than it is on a Saturday afternoon, because you don't get the time to prepare. So I rested him today and played him on the Tuesday, but that's my first real chance to see Anderson.
I think it was harsh on Anderson being brought in that then.
How's that harsh? Well, you're a footballer, you're a centre-half, you come in to do a job.
Because the momentum of the game was definitely going in favour of Nantwich Town. You
chicken,
saw that with the way the full-backs
chicken,
stayed back
headless,
all the time as soon as Jones went
rash,
off.
Rash, inexperienced. He was all there on show. He was booked with his first challenge. That could have been a red card if there hadn't been someone behind him, because he was pulling back the player. He then concedes a free kick, remonstrates with the referee, and could have been sent off for dissent. Yeah. He's then headed the ball back into his own area. He's then done a back flick and give a corner from a nothing situation. Not blaming the lad.
No, no.
He's not ready at that. What we've got to do is, and you said it's not easily threaded, that's the point. You have to have players that are ready to come on and play. Scott Cheatham.
I think that's one of the reasons why we didn't keep the ball. I mean, we did cover it at half time, and I know you were muttering about it behind me. Well, I think you were muttering about
I'm
that.
I'm always muttering.
The Scott Cheatham situation. He was trying to do the Dave Birch thing and come and get the ball off the centre halves, and what the centre halves were doing were ignoring him and just hoofing it into the diagonals. And
there was no confidence.
We never got out of that.
There was no confidence in giving him the ball. When he got the ball, the simple passing was good. The problem was, it was all pedestrian. There was no pace in it. There was no pace in the midfield today. Getting that ball and bang, it was, look, right, there's the pass. I'm going to hit it 30 yards. Now, this we're guilty of this, all players. I'll hit it 30 yards. The defender's going, well, I can just watch that come to me and I can head it out, or I can just take the ball off him. You know, and we didn't penetrate. When you've got Carlos, when you've got Jono, when you've got Jerome, you've got to be bombing down the wings. You've got to be utilising that.
Yeah,
not done at all.
But to me, I don't know whether the fitness is. I mean, when a couple of weeks ago FC played Hensford, got a lead, and then Hensford just, it was just a matter of time before they equalised. And people raised the question of fitness. I don't know whether that's an issue again, but Nantwich were far, far superior to FC at the end, and just lack of composure. Even though, Carlos had a chance for a cross with Jerome in the clear, crossed it much too forcefully. Mm. He went out for a goal kick. One step forward, two steps back. Really,
comedy of errors at the back towards the last 10 minutes. I mean, that was similar to maybe two or three seasons ago defending, where you've got makeshift players in there defending and doing this and doing that, and that really signifies the lack in depth, because if you pull out one player, Jones, that's the result. It was already going that way, let's be honest, because what they did, I thought, in the first half, their front three hustled and bustled, just trying to close space down and try and not let us play. So what you do is you've got to then change, right, okay, well, that's what they're trying to do. We need to now bomb on, do this, this and this. And there's many things you could have done, because they're ninth. They were ninth in
not
the division.
Anymore.
Not anymore, they're not. To be honest, they weren't causing many problems. Cook was in and out of the game, very similar to Carlos in that respect.
They played like a team who were having an away trip, and
we're here not to concede, not to lose the game. Let's go on with the point.
And
you
know what?
Home, you get a point.
And you know what? They're going home. We're free.
So I mean,
am I all right with it? Can you hear me all right?
Well, we can hear you definitely. From your perspective, and obviously you're up there watching a game from a totally different angle to ourselves. How did the commentary team think the game went?
Two things struck me really. One was That when Charlie Anderson came on and Adam Jones went off, I think you could feel, it's not to do with Charlie this by the way, but I think you could feel some kind of tension around the ground. And when they brought the big lad on, Bailey, near the end, I thought he was the one that was going to win it for them. As it happened, he did, but he did it with his foot. That was because we were struggling with crosses, weren't we?
Yes.
And Charlie gave away two free kicks on the far side, and I thought one of these is going to end up in the net. So that was the first thing. But I think the main thing about it was what they did was they put three players fairly far forward, so our back line couldn't play the ball at all. And we didn't have a plan B. And you would think, right, they've got three players fairly forward. You would think, get the ball behind them three. We've got to outnumber them. You know what I mean? Mm. But we don't. I still maintain we don't have that guile in midfield to break down teams. And we've not had it for, well, have we ever had it? Since Steve Spencer. I don't I'm going back to North West Counties, but we've never really had that.
I wouldn't have said the midfield before today when Scott Cheatham comes in has been that bad this season, really.
I don't think they've got the know-how to break teams down. We've been going some seasons and saying that, haven't we?
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, three of their players, our back four couldn't play the usual game, certainly the way they played against Camelhead last week. But why, if you get the ball past those three, you've got to be.
Well, the other thing that they did, I thought, did very well, the number 11, Lewis Short, who was played out wide, he was backtracking and they put two on Carlos for the majority of that second half. So they nullified that, which is excellent. Now, if that's the case, for me, you see that as a manager, you swap. You swap yourself, you swap your wide men and let one come in to give him a different thought process.
Well,
how do we contend with that? But is that? Yeah. But is the reason why, if Johnson's on the pitch, you can do that because he's got 2 feet.
Well, Johnson and Carlos do that a lot.
But you're limited then with the likes of Jerome because he's so one-footed. You can't put him on that side. But for me, you can. You've got to try things because if a player is not having the best of times because he's being double tracked. Swap it, see how it goes, send them back again, backwards and forwards every 15 minutes or whatever. A different option.
We do that quite often, don't we?
We do, but today we've not done that, and it never seems to occur.
The first goal came, I thought, because Jerome went inside in that first few minutes of the second half, and him and Wolfie played neat football together. Wolfie ended up in the box and scored, and I thought that might be a good omen. But that was it, really. There was nothing else that came from Jerome.
You guys were at Hensford, and I listened to the commentary, and you could hear it in your voices. It's coming, you know, the equaliser's coming.
Yeah.
And today was the same.
Absolutely,
you know, watch
right.
that. I mean, you go back to Charlie, I called him Charlie Adams before.
I've called him that a couple of times.
Of your ass, but Anderson.
Yeah.
You're right, it's not, I mean, Ben was saying, well, you know, it's not his fault he's coming. I said, but you've got to be ready. And good enough.
The tide was turning, but where you before?
It doesn't matter the tide's turning. What you've got to do is you come in as a position and just do your job. He came on and didn't do anything. Not his fault. I'm not blaming him. What I'm saying is, for me, you need a recognised centre-half coming into that position, opposed to somebody who's raw, who's obviously got talent.
Well, I'll tell you what they didn't do, Swampy, and we commented on that. What they didn't do was that they didn't make allowance for him coming on. So Lee Neville is still looking to play on the halfway line, right? And I'm thinking all the time, well, you've got a rookie at the back, right? Surely the players around him should be being a little bit more cautious and giving him support. But they played as though Adam Jones was still there. You know, he was still pushing on Nev.
And they left
him sort of vulnerable, I thought, in the middle, really.
I think so. I mean,
what did you think, Roy? I mean, it seemed to me FC scored not dissimilar to Hensford, and then surrendered the initiative. It was almost as if it would be better if they never scored, and it might have ended up 0-0 the way it turned out. But I don't quite understand what the mechanics were of that. Was it just that FC sat back and played a different game and allowed Nantwich to come onto them, or?
Well,
At the time, I
thought what was going to happen was, because immediately Nantwich started pressing forward, didn't they? And I thought we would get a second on the counter. Mm. We were starting to play counter football, didn't we, at that point? But that stopped. That stopped very quickly, didn't it? And all we did was sit back and let them come onto us. And they looked, and we made them look good, actually.
Well, yeah, that's true.
And I mean, Nantwich are a good side. They're always a good side. But I don't think they're going to win this league. Mm.
We
can't be talking about being the best team in this league if we can't beat Nantwich at home. We just can't.
I think what's disappointing, you're right, going back to that, the midfield, you know, and you look at the, you know, look at the quality on the bench this afternoon, and again, I know I'm going back to Scott, and again, it's no disrespect to Scott, but I don't think, this is a personal opinion, I don't think he's good enough. I think he's got lots of skill and lots of ability.
You mean as a defender?
Scott Cheatham in the middle
of
the
park. Sorry.
I don't think many teams would have Nicky Platt on the bench and Scott Cheatham in his place. Now, he played last week, you know, when he came on against a team that a lower division, and it was a comfortable, easy afternoon of football.
Yeah, it was.
Today was always going to be different.
Yeah.
You bring back your player who's had a good season up to now, Nicky Platt, and we've all had our doubts about Nicky Platt over the last couple of seasons, really, since he's come back. But he's back to full fitness and full form, you know, and you can see he's not happy because he wants to be out there playing. And in a game like today, where you've got no Birch, You know, you need someone that can box to box, because he can do that. But you're right.
Experience as well.
Experience
I think,
counts for a huge amount, because he comes on and has that presence.
I think
you could see the players not wanting necessarily to pass the ball to Scott as much as they should
be. Weren't passing.
They were bypassing him.
Yeah, and what Jake tends to do in situations like that is to take everything on himself.
Yeah.
And take shots.
And then you get Jake, yeah.
Well, he takes the shots, he'll do everything he can, and it doesn't work, does it?
But then you get him in the box making a dreadful clearance that they score from.
Well, exactly.
You know what I mean? Because Jake's probably not the player that should be there at that point. But that's what he does, isn't it? He covers, I think, for... Roy Sewell said that a couple of seasons ago, didn't he? That when we were all saying how great Jake was, he said, yeah, but he's not doing his own job. He's doing everybody else's.
He's doing everyone else's job, and there's gaps. The gaps appear, the gaps
are
left.
And you don't make clearances like that, do you?
No. And it's a shame, really, because, you know, a relatively decent start to the season, but as I say, it's, you know, to lose Jonesy, it's a huge miss.
It will be on Tuesday night.
Again,
sure.
I mean, Stafford. Yeah. You know, and I think he will.
I don't fancy Anderson against Stafford, to be honest.
If they give him the help and support, it might work.
But then we detract from what we're good at this season, which is the fullbacks. Yeah.
Anderson and Jones.
Yeah, true. I would
be relatively comfortable with, because you've got someone with the ability and also that's been around for a few years playing football, to put his arm around a young lad and say, look, this would help him.
Yeah.
I can't see Stott doing that with Anderson.
No, unfortunately, it's always Jones that he comes on for.
Who's going to be there to put his arm around him and say, look, you know, come on. You know, because I say, obviously, the lad's got talent. There's no question about that. But you throw kids into situations where it's just not right for them yet. And that can have a disservice to the individual, opposed to actually helping them out.
Nantwich are savvy, aren't they? They've been around this league down sight longer than we have around this game, you know, at this level. And when they see a young lad coming on for somebody like Jones, who'd been mopping up everything as he always does, they're going to say, aren't they? They're going to talk to each other and say, right, let's put some pressure on him, and that's what they did.
Yeah, but the thing is, our management team have been around forever as well. There's not our club's new, but the players and the management aren't new. They've been in football for same time as length as Jimmy Quinn and people like that. So we're going to start learning and saying, right, you know, we've got to make sure that we've got depth in squad, quality of players, like for like. So we lose him, we just bring a similar player. Liverpool were famous for it. They bought everybody, basically, didn't they? So if we lost the left back, we just put exactly the same kind of player, just knows what he's doing, not throwing rookies in dangerous situations with 15 minutes to go because of an injury. You know.
And you know it's coming, don't you?
I would have rather started with him. Anderson today, and see, you know, than risk Adam Jones for a game on Tuesday where you got travelling, which isn't good. Yeah. It's not around the corner job, is it? It's down the M6.
The other thing that I'd like to mention is the thing that I think we mentioned last week about Amadi coming on, and wouldn't it be nice to just trial out when we're doing well, Norton and Amadi up front as a duo. There was times where they were walking over each other in that game, because it's the first time they played together.
They were both,
He strikes me, Chris and Marty. I don't know much about him.
We can get some help for that, Roy, if that's what you need.
He strikes me as somebody who takes more than a couple of minutes to bed in to the game. Yeah. That if you're going to bring him on, you need to give him half an hour.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Although he was a worry for them when he was in the box, it was all kind of he was doing it on his own, wasn't he? There was no interplay, which is what you just said.
And the thing for me as well, we've had a bit of a laugh and a joke in a way about Rocker time. Today, he perhaps should have come off, one of those two should have come off at some stage and given Johnson, because what Johnson gives you, he gives you penetration and he gives you quality crosses, and he'll come on and he can do a bit like that. And he didn't come on. I was thinking, hold on. You know,
the thing was, as soon as Neville decided I'm not doing any overlaps anymore, Wright became totally ineffective.
He's been ineffective anyway, don't you think, Jerome? We know what Jerome's capable of, but it's not happened yet for him.
It's not
at all. And I'm sure it will. I hope it will. But he's just not.
This is one thing, though, from a manager's perspective, you bring off, Rocker comes off every single week. 60-minute play, well, indifferent, sublime, providing skill like he did last week, which is again something that, you know, you're happy to pay that £8 to come in just for that bit of skill.
Yeah.
And in a game where you perhaps needed to change it, and there wouldn't be a problem about taking him off, he stays on. And I'm just thinking, you know, Is that because, you know, he's heard the radio going about rocket science? Right, I'll leave the bugger on and can blame him for it.
No, I think it's because the team they had out there, it was Scott Cheatham needed to come off at that point.
Cheatham did, yes, no question
and,
about
and
it.
And I think had it not been Cheatham, Carlos may well have gone off, but I think he needed...
Johnson can come on, score goals, yeah. He's got quality about him, he's got 2 feet, he can... You know, we've seen what he's about, you know, and he doesn't want to be sat on that bench.
This is amazing. We're complaining about Rocky not coming off a pitch.
No, I'm not. No.
He is.
No. What I'm questioning is the management in the respect of Jerome or Carlos could have come off today.
Yeah.
And give the fresh impetus to a player that can come on and change a game. Amadi has not shown us that he can come on and just change a game. But we know Johnson can come on a pitch and bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
The impetus, the crowd get up because he's got the pace, yeah. The quality. We bring a lad, as you rightly say, seems to need maybe 5 or 10 minutes to bed in.
Yeah.
Up front, where there's no decent delivery coming in anyway.
There was times last season, though, and the season before, where we played 4-5-1 and then we'd change it to go 4-4-2 and we'd bring Deegan on and it would all work out fine in the end. And vice versa.
Are you saying we've been getting away with it?
The thing is,
not
though,
been getting away with it. Just that.
The thing is, though, we're still in this division after a long time, and it's one step forward, two steps back. The other results from today: Rushall won and Ashton drew, though, which is probably better. Hensford won away at Chorley. Mm. Marine were held at Whitby, so it was a bit of a mixed bag there, but we'll have certainly lost a bit of ground to some of the teams.
I feel fairly confident that we will be one of the top five teams come the end of the season. I mean, I feel fairly confident we won't be number one. And in this league, number one's everything, isn't it? Because you're then in the lottery, aren't you? You're in the playoffs, aren't you?
Of course you are. You,
and we need something. We need at least a couple of quality players, one in midfield, certainly for me. You're probably right, some more cover at the back, but we certainly need that with guile in midfield to take us to another level. That's what I think. I mean, I'm not complaining because, you know, it's the first game we've lost and we shouldn't get two down. And we are one of the top teams in this league,
but
we're not the top team. And really, that's all that matters in terms of promotion, isn't it?
You look at the bench today, Birch is the only really omission to today's team. On that bench, for me, there's three players that aren't, at this moment in time, for me, good enough to play for FC United. And that, really, and beyond that, there's no one actually that's not here today apart from Birch, who can come in, and you've got a strong team. We've got a strong team, a weak squad, I think. You know, that's my belief. We've got a good 11 on that pitch, and one or two really good substitutes, and then we have a very weak squad behind that. And there's no one really coming through in that respect, because we don't have that facility with the kids coming through. So we're going to have to look at players and bring players in and bring quality players in. You know, Birch is undoubtedly a decent player, but we've talked about Tom Baker, and Tom Baker should have been here. Tom Baker should be playing for FC United. You know, he's playing at Ashton United.
Well, that's the kind of midfield player.
He's the player that changes a season, that gets you, not into the playoffs, but gets you actually to be number one.
He's what we're short of, but we've been short of one of them for 3 or 4
We
years.
Have, yeah. But
that's just the way it is. We haven't brought one in, have we? So
we've not, no.
So that's why we won't win this league, but we might well end up top five and going through that lottery of a playoff.
Well, it's early days, isn't it? I mean, the thing is, what it looks to me like, maybe there won't be a runaway champion this time, like there's been Halifax and Chester, hasn't there? Yeah. It doesn't look, I mean, it's early days, but Rushall will go top as a result of
Hensford looks strong, don't they?
Did they win 1-0, Rushall?
I think they may have won by more than that.
I've got to say, testament and your cap to Rushall, because
absolutely every
you know they have got the smallest budget in this division. They're a very small, by their own admission, club, and what they've done to stay in the division last year, get promoted and then stay in the division. Now, it wasn't the style of football that we like, and I understand that, but this year they brought in some footballers, and they brought in some quality, and it's being proven. Mm-hmm. The top of the division, and they are going to be so difficult to beat, and they're going away and scoring goals as well now. So they're scoring and defending well, you know, so there's it's a mixed bag, really. A mixed bag.
It was
1-0 at home to Frickley.
Well, Well, I see, again, but, you know.
Yeah.
But
it's
1-0 on to Nantwich would have been all right. Well, but, I mean, yeah, we've got...
What you're saying there is, Bob, because they did win by multiple goals.
Three goals
in
the week. Yeah. And, you know,
but we've got Tuesday night to bounce back. It'd be a tough game, but we've got Tuesday night. And then we've got a good cup tie to look forward to next weekend.
Yeah, so if Jimmy Alden go around and kick it all of us.
That's going to be great. Well, Jimmy Alden, can they smuggle him on the bus?
I'm talking to us. He's on the, off the pitch. Get here, you.
Yeah, we could do with Jimmy, yeah. Smuggle him out. But I'm looking forward to... I can't get there Tuesday, but I'm certainly looking forward to Salford next weekend for a break from the league action, really. And we just need to... just need to get ourselves back together after this today. And it's a wake-up call. Actually, it's a wake-up call. We're not as good as we thought we were.
Well, from the commentary that
we're not
I've
as
heard,
bad as some people say.
No, I don't. I think we've got probably one of the strongest 11.
Yeah.
That anywhere in this division, yeah. You know, on paper that is a top quality.
But when you've got people being patched up,
people being injured. I mean, today if Kyle Jacobs had been injured, let's say he was still injured.
Well, he was injured, wasn't he? Last Sunday.
He was, but if Kyle was injured, and Jonesy was still injured, and Charlie Anderson had been injured, let's say, then you actually haven't got a full strength team.
Well, that could be the case on Tuesday night, of course, because you don't know what the reaction's going to be from Charlie for, you know, he come on there if he's not fully fit. Jonah looks out of it, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And, you know, as far as Kyle Jacobs was concerned, I don't know, he disguises it well, doesn't he? But
Kyle went through a whole season last year when he should have been having an operation and played through it.
I tell you what, he's been the best player this season by a mile for me.
Well, he's consistent, isn't he? He's consistent, right. he works, but, you know, you can't rely, you've got to rely on 11 other players or 10 other players there. They've all got to be.
Yeah.
I mean, are they in there, that dressing room this afternoon, well, this evening now, thinking, have I put a shift in? Have I done the best I can today? I don't think.
I think Sam was saying that up there. There's one or two players that come off that pitch FC today, look at themselves and say, no, I didn't do. I'm not talking about effort here. I'm just about I didn't do myself justice.
No, they didn't really.
And there was too many of ours that didn't do that. And you know, I thought we'd get away with 1-1 when they scored, but I don't know.
I think James is right though. It is a division this season that is very open.
It's there for the taking.
But the thing, what they're doing is this, what I've noticed, because I mean, one of the good things that that Facebook have brought is that the non-league page is exceptionally good, because it gives you all the latest info. All the fans are talking to each other, bringing players in, and you see the kind of quality that teams are bringing in.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Matlock Town have made, I mean, they've obviously a dreadful start to the season. I think they got beat again today. But they brought five or six players in, and they're bringing in ex-league players now, because they're realising that position. So
well, these
beat
them 5-0, didn't they? Yeah. First day of the season. You know,
they're bringing quality in because they have to. Yeah. And all the other teams, you look at them and they're bringing some decent players, and, you know, other clubs are getting rid of me. Charlie are getting rid of Steve Foster. You know, he was top. He was player of the year last year, and they're getting rid of him. Mm. You know, and Ellington, who's at Matlock, who scored goals for Staley Bridge, and he's been played in the Blue Square Blue Premier. He's been asked to leave Matlock. Yeah. You know, so there's quality players that are, but they're bringing them in, and my fear is that we've got to match that. I mean, you know, and we can match it in a lot of ways, because what we can't pay somebody, we can give him in other things, you know, and we can match quite a lot of clubs in pay. Let's not pretend that we are skint. But you know, it's a bad day at the office today, I suppose.
Yeah,
that's bad
day at the office.
And let's hope we can make amends.
Hello, this is John Champion. You're listening to FC United Radio.
Next up on Tuesday, FC face Stafford Rangers in the Evostick Premier League. Kickoff is at 7:45 p.m. and the address for the ground is Marston Road, Astonfield Road, Stafford, ST16 3BX. That's Marston Road, ST16 3BX. On Saturday, FC take on Salford City in the second qualifying round of the FA Cup. Kickoff is at 3 p.m. The address for the game is Moor Lane, Kersal, Salford, M73PZ. That's Moor Lane, M73PZ. If you can't make the game, never fear, FCUM Radio is here. We'll be covering both games live and in full on www.fcumradio.co.uk. Join us pre-kick-off for a full build-up show.
Hi, my name's Mick Ferry. You're listening to FCUM Radio, or for Come For Short.
After getting last weekend off, FC United's youth team were keen to get back to action, taking on Morecambe's A team at the Lancaster Club. Here's Andy Marshall with a report.
The run goes on for FC Youth as they made it 5 wins from 5 this season with a 5-1 victory over Morecambe at the Lancaster Club. Goals from Lewis Lacey, Yusuf Yusuf, John Poyser, Mike Taylor and Andy Lee saw the Reds secure yet another convincing victory against supposedly one of the better teams in the league. Conditions were tough in Failsworth, with the wind and rain trying its best to ruin the game, but FC were too good to let that happen and went ahead in the 5th minute, Lewis Lacey following up on a spilled corner to make it 1-0. The Reds were on top and went too clear on 22 minutes. Captain John Poyser played Yusuf through, who slotted on. Morecambe surely had a talking to at half-time and looked to come out fighting in the second half. That fight lasted about a minute, as FC made it 3-0 almost straight from the restart. Goal provider became goal scorer this time, as Poyser was played through, slotting. The visitors did pull one back midway through the second half, thanks to a deflection, but FC never really looked in trouble. The gloss was put on the game late on, as FC scored twice more. First, Mike Taylor hit a Cantona-esque chip into a top corner to show some real class, before Andy Lee slotted in number 5 with a tidy finish. So, another good result and performance to go with it. It looks like a two-horse race with Warrington this season for the title. I spoke to Dave Brown and co. after the game.
OK, Dave Brown, congratulations mate, 5-1. Another good performance, that's 5 wins out of 5. It's difficult conditions. What do you make of it?
I'm disappointed that we conceded one, to be honest. And I'm going to tell him as well when we get in there.
5 goals, not enough?
No, they're a different class, aren't they? Totally dominant, I think. Five or ten minutes first half, 5 or 10 minutes second half, they got into it a little bit, just because we were being sloppy. But we've said before the game, we've got 20 good players, and we don't matter what system we play or what positions they play, we're really, really good. A few little bits, but...
Yeah, I'd say there's a lot of players playing in various positions, isn't there? And you can't tell. You can't tell that. I'm not sure what the natural positions are. You must know. They must know. But yeah, looking good all over the park.
We've got a centre forward and a central midfield player playing at centre half. And a left winged, left back central midfield player playing wherever he wants to. So these three, Mike's a midfield player. But you need to get used to playing in different positions. And they can do it because they're all footballers.
Okay, I'm also here with three of the team. Lewis Lacey, John Poyser and Mike Taylor all scored a goal today. I direct it all years, whoever wants to come in. I'd say you played very well, you're looking good as a team. What's the team's opinion?
It was a great performance, 100% throughout the whole game. Slacked off near the end, but it was very good.
That was Captain John Poyser, got one today. Mike Taylor scored a bit of a Cantona-esque pearler today.
Yeah, it was alright. As soon as it left my foot, I knew it was going in anyway, so, you know.
We did as well. We knew it was going in straight away.
And central defender, come striker, come whatever he wants, Lewis Lacey.
Scored every time, every week.
The happy performance.
Yeah. I'm just a bit gutted about conceded a goal. It was sloppy, to be honest. But the whole team performance was excellent.
And what about for this season? Are you going to win the league and the cups?
Of course. Win everything this year.
Well said. All right. Cheers, everyone. Thank you. Okay.
Cheers.
Next up for the youth side, a trip to Tameside to face Kersne Ashton under-18s. The address is Tameside Stadium, Richmond Street, Ashton Underline, OL79HG. That's the Tameside Stadium, OL79HG. Also on Sunday, FC United women's team extended their amazing start to the season by beating High Flyers Ashton United 7-1, making their running goals total 23 from 3 league games. Can anyone stop the Red Ladies? Oh yes, it's ladies' night. Side, a Sunday trip to Oldham Athletic Ladies. Kickoff is at 1:15 p.m. and the address for the ground is Chapel Road, Grammar School Road, Oldham, OL82DD. We're still looking for a women's team correspondent here on This Club Is My Club, so if you have an interest in sport or journalism and can attend the majority of the women's matches, please get in touch. We'd love to hear from you and help you make a difference to this programme, the station and the club as a whole. Get in touch on station at fcumradio.co.uk.
Single baby, sophisticated mama.
And finally, some winning news for you. The Social Club raffle was won last week by ticket numbers Yellow 900 and Yellow 896. If you have the winning ticket, please contact the club on 0161 273 8950 or email office at fc-utd.co.uk. That's it for this week. You can hear this show on Mondays and Tuesdays at 8:30 a.m, 12:30 and 9 p.m. The podcast can be downloaded via the website and all the goals are held on audioboo.fm/FCUM Radio. That's it from me. Thanks to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. I'm on holiday for a week, so I'll leave you in Marv's capable hands. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.